So I need some, we're going to do some seat changing here. I can't see you. Hiding behind the posters. They got some seats right here. That'd be a good spot to sit. We don't have a whole lot of people here, so you can sit facing me rather than have to turn halfway. But they, the ones that couldn't see me when I was up here. All right. How many have a Bible? You're going to need your Bible. Everybody say, this is Bible study. And I got the title already up there, so we know what we study. And this is what everybody asks for. Everybody's asking for it, and you're not going to maybe be so happy when I'm done. We know what we got to work on, amen? So this is the one that the pastor avoids because he don't want nobody to think that he's in it for the money. So, so tonight I'm going to talk about money. Okay? I know this is not a good subject for everybody, but let me ask a question, a couple of starter questions. Who in here, or is there ever a time you wanted to do something, but you couldn't afford it? Let me see your hand. Okay? I'm on the right track here. Now, what if I can show you that'll never happen again? What if I can show you that will never happen again? Because that's what I'm about to do. I'm going to show you that way. Once I show you, it's always there, just like everything else, just like Passover. Can I unshow you Passover? Can I unshow you first fruits? Can I unshow you Shavuot? You understand? Just like that, what I'm going to show you tonight, you can't undo it. And I'm sure there are going to be some things that probably we didn't take enough time to look at, but we're going to look at it tonight. So you'll know that there'll be a release for you. And how many of you know you want Jehovah's favor? You want his favor. Not only his favor, you want his protection. Who wants his protection? You want his protection, especially when it comes to your finances. But this is not just a financial lesson here. Even though the majority of it's going to cover finances, this is not just finances, because when you live under a curse, it affects you physically. It affects you spiritually. It affects you mentally. And it causes, how many know that mental disease causes all sorts of illnesses? So I'm going to show you that we can come out from underneath that bondage, because it's bondage. It's not what Jehovah authored. But he tells us if you do this, you're going to be under a curse. We don't want to do that no more. Amen. So we're going to look at this. I wouldn't call this an exhaustive study because I want to be able to finish the presentation tonight. So I have to keep my slides within 50 or so. Because how many know that I have a hard time getting through 30 sometimes? So I got 50 slides or so, and I want to show you what the Bible says. Now, this is not what I think. And listen, what I tell you, you can do whatever you want. It's up to you. You can do whatever you want. Just like when we started this journey, I said you can do it whatever you want to do, but I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow what the Word says. And I thank God a lot of you come alongside and said, that's what I want to do. But you got to decide for yourself if you want to constantly be under the fact that you don't know if you can afford to do something. What type of testimony you think that is when you don't know if you can afford to do something? So we're going to talk about living within your means or below your means. Because sometimes we live above our means and we don't have enough for Jehovah. You know, that thing is a losing battle to begin with. You lose that every time because you got to do some house cleaning in order to make sure you're getting covenant with him. And if you don't do what he asks you to do, you're not in covenant. And so you can do a bunch of other things and wonder why I don't have no release in my family and my home. That's the reason why. And so we'll take a look at this. So the title is Tithes and offerings. Everybody say offerings. This is something that kind of gets passed up. But we're obligated to both of them. To both of these. And so, when I grew up, tithe and offering was, you know, pretty frequently talked about. And often, you know, you think about it now, why was those Old Testament things talked about then? Nothing else was talked about. But because we do talk a lot about the Old Testament, what people call the Old Testament, the Torah, I'm going to show you in the Torah and in the Brit Hadashah what it's talked about. Some people say, well, he don't mention it in the Brit Hadashah. Well, I'm going to show you he does mention it. And he mentions it. He mentions it. We need to pay attention to his words. How many know Yeshua's words matter? What he says matters. We got to pay attention to him because he things that he thinks is something that should just come automatic to us, he don't spend a lot of time beating that. Because it's automatic. He knows that you're supposed to do this. So he won't spend a lot of time. But if he spends any time, it's important. And we should take note of it. First of all, just so everybody's clear, the only thing Yeshua changed from the Torah was the sacrifice. Because he became the sacrifice. So understand that. I hope everybody understands that that's very clear. He became the sacrifices, so they did have to change. Because you couldn't have remission of sin with the blood of bulls and goats. But with his own blood is a big difference. And when Jehovah says he redeemed us with the blood of his own. Now I know in English we translate that with his own blood, but the blood of his own, speaking of Yeshua. And it's a powerful statement there. So let's get started. You want to take notes? And you want to go over this because this is not a one-time lesson for you to get it. It's going to take some time, and it's going to take a lot of discipline in your life in order to break out from the financial crisis that we all got ourselves in. And we're going to break out of that. Just like we've been freed in many other areas, we're going to be free in this. And how many want to be free? The first tithe. Everybody say the first tithe. When is it? Every year. Every year is the first tithe. So the first tithe is you think about the increase that you have in that 1 year period, you owe a tithe on that increase. So you have a 1 year period. Now listen, I have to do it this way because I know we talked about second, third tithe. But if you don't even get the first tithe right, you're not going to get the second and third if you can't be obedient in the first thing he told you to do. Because people got all sorts of ideas and teachings out there about the tithe. And even in the Hebrew movement, in the Messianic movement, there's a lot of bad stuff out there when it talks about tithing. Because they say the Levitical system's not set up, so we don't have to tithe no more. Has anybody ever heard some of those teachings? Let me see your hand. Bad teaching. I'm put it on the spot right now. You can say Pastor Jesse said. You can say whatever you want. Bad, bad teaching. Because listen, you can't just come up with a solution and say, well, we're liberating the people. Well, people like to be liberated when they don't have no responsibility to pay their tithe, the first tithe. You get an amen right away on that. But that's bad teaching. I'm going to show you why it's bad. This tithe is set apart and belongs to Yehovah. Who does it belong to? It belongs to Yehovah. It's not to the church. It's not to the pastor. You have a first tithe, and that tithe is set apart, which means if you touch it, you're under a curse. So I can't teach you second and third tithe because you could do those 100% right, but if you miss your first tithe, it don't do you a bit of good. How many understand how important that is? So what do you do? So you're working, and you have an income come in. Well, that increase of your income is, there's a lot of debate whether it should be before tax or after tax. Well, you can debate that all you want. Only thing I can go on is what Jehovah says. And what he says is your increase. So your increase is only, in my opinion, is only counted after your tax. Because your tax is taken out whether you want it or not. Whether you want to or not. You're going to pay Uncle Sam what he wants. Now you're left with some money. And that money, there's a tithe that belongs to Jehovah and it's set apart. Don't forget that. It's set apart. It's holy unto him. And that's very important. If you don't understand that concept, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. So, is there any wiggle room for the first tithe? There's no wiggle room. It's a command. It's Jehovah's. There's no wiggle room. You're commanded to do that. You don't do that, there's a curse on your life. Financial curse. Then it turns into physical ailments and all sorts of things. And so, you know, you're sitting here. People that attend this church know good and well some people ain't paid a tithe in a long time. Now, I don't know who pays what because I don't look. Because your business is not my business. My business is teaching. My business is to make sure that you don't continue down that path. I don't need to know if you did it or not to preach this. This is the Word of God. So it's better that I don't know because your tithe is not with me. Your tithe is with Jehovah. Very important to take that into consideration. And it's set apart and belongs to him. So let me read it to you. Leviticus 27, verse 30. Leviticus 27, verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or the fruit of the trees, belongs to Jehovah. Who it belongs to? It is set apart to Jehovah. If a man indeed redeems any of his tithe, he adds one-fifth to it. What does it mean to redeem any of the tithe? That means for some reason, you living beyond your means, and you can't make it that month, so you got to take from the tithe. When you give the tithe back, you got to add a fifth part. How many know how much percent that is? 20% interest on that, you got to add to it. You understand that? Very important. So you said, well, I just kept it this month. I needed to use it, but I just gave it back. If you didn't add a fifth part, you didn't do it right. But let me tell you how you don't have to get into the fifth part. Don't do it. Why? Because it's set apart to Jehovah. It's his. Why would you do it? Because you're teetering on the fact, like Adam and Eve did when they had to get a hold of that one tree that he's reserved for himself. You can have any tree in the garden, but this one tree is mine. Don't touch it. And you teetering on that type of behavior, what happens? You get overwhelmed again, and before you know it, the curse is on your life, and you get out of sync with God. You're not in sync. You come in the feast days, but you're not in sync. You're reading your Bible, but you're not in sync. You're going to church, but you're not in sync. There's a hindrance there, and he wants to remove all those hindrances tonight. He wants you to be free. He wants, you don't have that. So you got to make sure you keep good records. How many of you know that's a good business practice? The guy that's just rumpling everything up, he don't know what he got, what he spent, he don't know nothing. Chances are, he's not going to be a good business guy. He don't keep track of nothing. Jehovah is, he does things orderly. You got to keep good records. Because how would the Levite know if for that year, one of the tribal members decided to take the lamb and use it? Would he know that? He wouldn't know it. But you're to keep good records. You're to be honest. You're not lying to me. You're lying to Jehovah. Can you succeed lying to Jehovah? You can't succeed. So you got to be honest. So nobody knows if you kept the fifth, you redeemed some of the tithe. But if you do redeem it, you have to add a fifth part to it, 20%, when it's put back. And it has to be put back. If not, you're out of sync. Does that make sense to everybody? So the entire tithe of the herd and of the flock and all that passes under the rod, the tenth one, is set apart to Jehovah. Remember, this tithe is the first tithe. It's set apart to Jehovah. Now, do we find second tithe in the Bible where it says second tithe? Do we find that? Do we find where it says second tithe in the Bible? No. You're not going to find it, but it talks about a tithe that you can eat. What tithe is that? You see why we read slow? Because it's not going to say second tithe. We call it a second tithe because it's additional tithe, often not the same one. And we'll show you those verses. Verse 33, he does not inquire whether it is good or spoilt, nor does he exchange it. And if he exchanges it at all, then both it and the one exchange for it are set apart. It is not redeemed. Remember, once you take it and you do an exchange, because this is what they had to do. They had a tithe. And they could take the tithe and exchange it for currency. Just because you change it over, does it change the fact that it's still Jehovah's? You understand what I'm saying? It don't matter what you do with it. You can't manipulate it and change it, the fact that it's not his. You can't do that. So you say, well, you know, I'm just going to put it over here and let it draw interest for the year and just pay it once a year. Can you do that? Can you exchange it and it not be set apart? What did he say? Both it and the one exchanged for it are set apart. It is not redeemed. These are the commands which Jehovah commanded Moshe for the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. Now, who has he commanded this to? The children of Israel. So, are we not part of Israel? So he's commanding this to us. The tithe, the first tithe, is a tenth of your income. So if you have $1,000, after your taxes, there it is, it's sitting there pretty on the table. How much belongs to Jehovah set apart? $100. Now keep that, write that on your paper. Put it big. $1,000. Put $1,000, and then what of $1,000 is set apart to Jehovah of that $1,000? How much? Write $100 and put belongs to Jehovah. Set apart. So now you're taking notes. You're writing down this thing. So you know, you've seen it with your own eyes. You're writing it with your own hand. Now, if you take 100 from 1,000, you got what left? Keep that in mind. The word tithe is maaser. Maaser in the plural or feminine. Maasera, a tenth, especially a tithe, a tenth part, or tithing. So, because everybody said, well, where you get the word, how you know it's 10%? I just gave it to you. So I want you to see it in Hebrew. The Hebrew word is there. And I want you to also see this. In the ancient pictograph script, we have what for tithing? Everybody say it. The mem, the ayin, the shin, and the resh. Now, we've had these quite often. Take some time to go look at them. I didn't put them in here just because of time, but I showed it to you in this one photo picture so you can look at it for yourself. Look it up and see how important it is that he's describing the tithe. Who's involved in the tithe on the resh? The head or the chief? He's trying to tell us some things here. He's trying to show us some things. So hopefully you'll take some time to look at that. The first tithe is every year. The tithe consists of all the tithe of the land. All the tithe, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees, the herd or the flocks. It is not to be eaten by you or your family, not given to the stranger, the widow, the fatherless, the alien, the sojourner, or anyone else. It is set apart to Jehovah. Now, I'm going to read about a tithe in a little while. You can do various things with. So is it the same tithe? No, it's different tithe. And that's why we call it the second tithe. Because I know people say, I'm going to look up second tithe and see where it's at in the Bible. You're not going to find it. Because that's not how you study the Bible. You got to read where you see the word tithe and read the context of what it's saying and see if there's a difference. Because here he's stating the first tithe. This is the qualifications that make it the first tithe. I mean, understand that. Can you give your tithe? So I'm going to help people with my tithes. Can you do that? He said, don't do that. Well, it don't matter what I do with my tithes. Yes, it does matter. It's Yehovah's. It really does matter what you do with the first tithe. It does matter. Somebody said, well, I ain't going to give tithes because the pastor's going to buy him a diesel truck. Listen, let me put it just as easy as I can. What the pastor drives is none of your business. That's the easiest way I can say it. Because your tithe is to Jehovah. Be free from that. Don't get all worked up. Say, I just don't know what they're doing with it. Nobody's showing me anything. Your tithe is to Jehovah. And you got to be free from that. Because you got other responsibilities that you can get really involved in, and I'm about to show you what you can really get involved in. And it's all on you what you do with it. The second tithe. Everybody say the second tithe. Every year. Every year. So it's not a one time, it's every year. So now we started out with $1,000, right? And we gave God, Yehovah, his tithe, belongs to him. Is it your business what Yehovah does with his tithe? It's not your business either. It doesn't even belong to you. You're the conduit to transfer from where your increase, because who's blessed you with your increase? You got to acknowledge the blessing if you ever to receive the blessing. If you don't acknowledge the blessing, you didn't really receive it because you just think you're that special. It came your way. Everything I have is because Yehovah has smiled on my life. And I appreciate that, so I'm going to give him what's his, and I'm done with it. I don't have to worry about what happens to it. I don't have to fret over what happens to it. It's his. He's going to do what he wants with it. Because the teaching that's terrible today is the Levitical priesthood. That's what the tithe was for. So, we don't want to give the tithe to the pastor. Because we're not under the Levitical priest no more, so they can go to work. That's people's attitude today. They can just go to work just like everybody else. They got nothing to do. But the tithe is not to the preacher. It's to Yehovah. Remember that, and it's set apart. You don't get a choice in it. Now, you can do whatever you want. Remember, I'm just giving you the information. Am I telling you have to pay tithes? Not at all. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do a thing. But I'm just going to let you know that way you know up front where you're going to sit with Yehovah when you do whatever you want to do. Because you're never going to hear me say, if you don't pay your tithes, you're never going to have me come up here and I'm going to take the ledger, the church ledger, and say, you didn't pay, you didn't pay, you didn't pay. That never happened. You're not cheating me. You're cheating Yehovah. And I'm trying to tell you how to stay blessed. Remember, you raised your hand. I'd like to do something, but I can't afford it. I'm telling you how to never have that happen again. That's how it happens. You'll never have to worry about that ever again. And if you borrowed any of the tithe that's Yehovah's, remember, you owe it back with a fifth part. You don't get out of that. So I bought Weedy the string for the church. Does that count? You can wrap the church in weed eater string. It don't count. You know, we want to do all kinds of gymnastic when it comes to the scripture. That was holy unto Jehovah. It's his decision to decide what to do with it. He decides that. Second tithe. You had $1,000 on your paper. You took 10th out of that. That left with what? So now everybody say, from the second tithe, I'm working on a 900. That's where I work from. I'm working from the 900 because Why you don't have 1,000? Because you already gave Jehovah's was his. And you now you're ready for the second time. Now you're ready to step this up. The second tithe is every year. Well, let's look at it in Deuteronomy because he's going to tell us. You shall tithe without fail all the yield of your grain that the field brings forth year by year, and you shall eat before Jehovah your Elohim in the place where he chooses to make his name dwell. You're going to eat what? Everybody say the tithe. And what are we talking about? We're talking about tithe. And you shall eat before Jehovah your Elohim in the place where he chooses to make his name dwell, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil and of the firstling of your herd and your sheep, so that you learn to fear Jehovah your Elohim always. What's the release when you do the second tithe? You'll do what? You'll learn to fear Jehovah always. You're showing him that what he says matters. So we're going to take now a tenth of the 900. How much is that? 90. So I would make that deduction. So go on your paper where you're making it real nice so you can see it, so you don't lose it. You took 900. You can take a tenth of the 900. That'll be $90. And then you're left with what? Eight what? 810. Is the math right? Everybody's good. So now you know what you got. So say 810 is a number that I have to remember. 810 is the number I have to remember. Very important. Now I'm using just round numbers. We're just doing that. Don't say, okay, Pastor said all I got to do is take the first $1,000 I make and pay tithes on that. Okay. Verse 24, but when the way is too long for you, so that you are not able to bring the tithe, or when the place where Jehovah Elohim chooses to put his name is too far from you, when Jehovah Elohim is blessing you, then you shall give it in silver, and shall take the silver in your hand and go to the place which Jehovah Elohim chooses. Why would they do this? Say you lived a long way from Jerusalem, and your tithe was 20 head of sheep, 15 head of bulls, and you had 2 tons of grain. I mean, you had a farm going on, and you was blessed. To get that from where you lived to where it was going was taxing. Matter of fact, it was so taxing, you had to hire extra help and all. Before you know it, didn't make sense. The economics wasn't right. So we got to change it. We exchange all of this. So you take that which you had and you sell it, or you exchange it for silver. Now you just got cash. So now you're going to Jerusalem with cash. What do you do with the cash? How many know that he tells us what to do with it? Now, this is the second tithe. Everybody say second tithe. And you shall use the silver for whatever your being desires. I'm not making this up. I'm just reading. And this is coming out of the Torah. You shall use the silver for whatever your being desires, for cattle or sheep or wine or strong drink, for whatever your being desires, and you shall eat there before Jehovah your Elohim. Now, where are you supposed to do this? Before Jehovah your Elohim. So now, the only reason you had to exchange it because you had to travel a long distance to get where he put his name. Now you're there. Do you still have a responsibility to use that finances within the means of the structure that he set? And that structure is where he places his name. Now, what are we speaking of? When we read in the Torah and we see this, what is he speaking of? We're speaking of something that happens 3 times a year. the feast. It's Jehovah's appointed times. So now we know what he's telling us to do with the money. Now, say, whatever your being desires. So you had the feast days, and you say, you know what, this celebration, I want, say you want certain meat or something. Buy the meat. You can afford it. You know, folks, we all raise our hand. I like to go, but I can't afford it. You're never going to have that happen again if you follow this method. Ever. Because it teaches you to save. Now, why is he teaching us to save? Because he wants us to learn that we still got 8/10. Now, am I supposed to, can I do whatever I want with the 8/10? You say, it's mine, I ought to be able to do what I want. But he's teaching you a principle. What's the principle he's teaching you? Save. I would take a portion of the 8/10 and put it aside. Does that make sense? Why would I do that? Because it's smart. It's smart. And he's teaching you a principle in the Torah that you can't live beyond your means. You don't make it and eat it all up and you're waiting for the next week to come because you're living check to check. Not how it works. You gotta set your structure right. Now you say, but you don't know. I mean, I barely got, when I draw the line in equal, it's zero. Sometimes it's in the negative. But you got to change some things and reverse that. Because remember, you got you where you are. Jehovah's trying to get you out of where you are. And he's the only hope you have if you follow his method. This financial class from Jehovah, I hope you notice. This financial class from Jehovah, he said, I can get you out of any situation. But we got ourselves in a situation where we can't even afford to pay the tenth the first time. So we've been taking Jehovah's stuff. And not even giving it back, much less adding a fifth to it. Does that make sense? We don't want to be in that position. We want to be free. And I was telling Pastor Josh, we're about to step in. Those who will follow what Jehovah says, we're going to step into some of the greatest financial breakthroughs you've ever seen. And I'm going to be right smack in the middle. I believe it with all my heart. I receive it for myself. But I'm not going to expect that if I'm not doing what he said. If I do what he says, then you got to have Jehovah. He's the one protecting you. He's the one watching over you. He's the one keeping you. And so, can you have success if you're sick? Can you work a job when you're sick? You see what I'm saying? So, there's all sorts of ways the enemy will try to attack you to get your finances down. But Jehovah says, I got to keep them healthy because they've been blessing me. And they give me what belongs to me, so I'm going to keep them healthy. How many want him to fight for you? I want him to fight for me. I want to put my faith in him because when he's fighting for you, you win all the time. And you shall use the silver for whatever you're being desires, for cattle, sheep, wine, strong drink, or whatever you're being desires. And you shall eat there before Jehovah your Elohim, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. How many know it's a lot easier to rejoice when you have the money to pay for what you're doing? Let me tell you, you can live in fairy tale land and put it on credit cards. It's not real, but they let you do that. They let you do that. You can do it all you want, but there's nothing. And you can have fun, but you're not really celebrating because you know that bill is coming by the end of the month. And you got to pay that bill with high interest if you can't pay it off. It's coming. So you didn't really celebrate and rejoice. You faked it. It looked good, but it's not real. How many want to change it where you know it's in, you got it in real money. And you can celebrate all you want because you set this aside for that particular thing. That's the second tithe. We should not be taxed during feast time. We shouldn't be taxed at all. And we put these taxes, we tax ourselves down mentally, spiritually, physically, because we don't save. And he's commanding us to save for the second time. He's commanding us to do it, which should teach us a good pattern of behavior that this is smart. I have accumulated X amount of dollars because I've, I, I disciplined myself to do what he told me to do. Now I'm going to take that 8:10 and I'm going to do the same thing for my personal life. And before you know it, you got some savings. And you can go do stuff, other things. You can go on vacation that you ain't been on in a while without using a credit card. Because a vacation on a credit card is not a real vacation. You financed it. Just remember that. If you finance it, now you're in a contract with somebody. Who'd you rather be in a contract with, Yehovah or the contracting company? You want to be in contract with Yehovah, amen? And he's telling you how to do it. And do not forsake the Levites who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. Now this is right here. So now you have your second tithe. You're taking a portion of it out of the 900. So you took that tithe, whatever it was, however many times you're going to make $1,000, you're going to take it every time, and it accumulates. And so now you got money to go to the feast. So in our situation, we don't travel to Jerusalem, right? But we're here. And when we do the feast, it costs somebody. It costs for decorations and all that stuff. I just hope everybody knows that. But they don't magically just, they're not, you don't go like to a store and they say, we're giving these decorations away. It costs. So I want you to know somebody's paying for it. Should that be the responsibility of one person or two people? Should be all our responsibility. So you can come and eat and have fun. But you're not really rejoicing. You're not rejoicing in it because you had no part in it. Does that make sense to you? And we commanded to take part at every level. The prep level. The paying level. Those are the two areas that folks kind of disappear on. The cleanup level. Now the real deal, when it's happening, it's easy. We can just all get in and have fun. But there's a lot to it. There's more than that. And that's what the second tithe is for. So you're not taxing yourself with a burden when it comes to Jehovah's feast day. There should never be a burden, ever. That's the second tithe. How do we know it's the second tithe? Because he tells us we could do stuff with it. That the first tithe, we couldn't do none of that. Because the first tithe is wholly set apart to Jehovah, period. And I hope you've seen that. That's clearly spelled out in the text. Clearly. So when people are doing a study on tithing, they say the tithing is not for the day. I don't know where they're getting that from. Other than they're not reading all of the scripture when it comes to it. We ain't even got on the fact what Yeshua says. Now the third tithe. The third tithe is every year. Now why is the third tithe every year? Why I say every year? Because you got to keep good records. Good records. So, year one came along. So everybody remember, we have a 7-year cycle. Everybody say 7 years. We have 3, 3, and 1. The 1 is the 7th year. It's called the Shemitah cycle. The Shemitah cycle is what we don't do anything on the Shemitah cycle because the land has to rest. Now, because we're not in the farming, it's not a practice that we consider. But we do have our own gardens, right? We have our own gardens. We grow out. We have fruit trees in the land. We should practice that. We should practice that, whether you have pecan trees growing on your property, whether you're growing tomatoes, cucumbers. You're supposed to do it for 6 years and then take a year off. And whatever grows on its own, he tells you what to do with that. But you're not supposed to harvest it, because what did they harvest their crops for? For sale, which brought income. So there's a 7th year Shemitah cycle. And the reason we got to keep up with that is because we don't know how to do the 3 years. We have two sets of three, and then the Shemitah cycle. So you got to understand that's very important. The third tithe is the third and the 6-year tithe. So when is it done? The 3rd year and the 6th year. The 3rd year and the 6th year. So is it important to know when the Shemitah is? Of course it is. Because after the Semitic cycle, it starts year one of the first, the third, leading you up to the third year, one, two, three. Because this is what we were discussing. How do you know when to count? So when's the Semitic cycle? When did the last Semitic cycle happen? Everybody say this year. 2021, 2022 is the seventh Semitic, is the seventh year in the Semitic cycle. So 2021 is September to 2022 September, then the Semitic year will be over. Okay, September the 7th, I believe it is. You can look it up, but I tried to get different views on it, but everything I came down to that time. So we got to have some starting point, and that was the best I could come up with. September the 7th, 2021, to September 22, the 7th of September 2022, it ends the cycle. So we in the Semitic cycle right now. So you said, man, I planted already. Well, that's because you didn't hear me. Now you hear me. So we're not to plant in the seventh year cycle. We're not to pick the pecans off the trees. We're not to take the oranges off the trees. We're supposed to leave it rest. Now, stuff's gonna be there, right? Now, he says, don't take it off the trees for what? For your own personal use only, or to sell it. But can somebody get it? Absolutely. And I'll get on that part, and you make them get it. Remember the gleaning? He said, you don't cut the corners of the field, because they got poor people, people that are struggling. They got widows. Their husband died. They don't have no farm. They lost the farm. They living in a house over here, got no income. Can you imagine how tough that was back then? When you had no income and you're a widow? So does Jehovah care for people like that? Absolutely. And he sets the Torah to care for people like that. And so it may be different now. They got all sorts of things that they can get, you know, government assistance and all this stuff. But is that what the Torah teaches, that we should relinquish our responsibility and just let the government take care of them? They got all kinds of programs to take care of people like that. Does that alleviate us from our responsibility? As Torah keepers, we should be responsible to at least extend ourselves to people when it comes to that. So the gleaning of the field, you leave it, and you don't go cut the corners and you say, well, I got something for you. Why did he do that? Because everybody should be able to get up and go do something. It's like I've heard even guys today say, I got some, I'm growing beans. I got beans on the bushes. You like some beans? Yeah, I want some beans. They want them in a bag, and you got to knock on their door to get it. Give them to them. That's how they want them. But you say, look, young, come stop by any time and get you some. That's what you should do. Stop by, and you can pick some off. So if you get told that and you don't stop, that's on you. God provided the beans for you, but you were too lazy to go pick them. You wanted somebody to hand them to you. And sometimes you want them cooked with sausage in it. So let me get back to this before we get lost in our. The third tithe is the third and sixth year, verse 28 of Deuteronomy 14. And at the end of every third year, you bring out all the tithe of your increase. Everybody say increase. Of that year and store it up within your gates. So where do you store this tithe? Within your gates. Again, teaching you what? Responsibility. Now you got this money sitting there, and you got an emergency come up. You see what I'm saying? It's teaching us a principle. Now we don't want to go touch it because it's an emergency. I got to learn how to get through my emergency and realize that if I would have put myself aside from the 8-10 that I had left, a portion, I'd have emergency funds. I didn't learn anything from the Torah. And that's what he's trying to teach us. He's trying to teach us that these are principles to live by. He teaches us good principles, but we don't put them into practice. We got to have good practice. You should always save. So if you're fishing in the fishing business and you're going out fishing and you're going to make $650 that day, and so you got your expense, you're going to pay your expenses, and then you got a tax that's going to come off of that. You know you're going to have a tax on that money. not all clear. You can have a tax on that money. And so you can figure that tax out, and then you're left with something. It's all mine. You owe something else with that. You owe Jehovah his. You owe the second time. And you got to keep good notes because you won't know how much your increase is the following year because you didn't keep a note. One, you're guessing. Can you guess at this? Not a guess. It's not a guessing game. Keep good notes because you won't know your increase. And so you say, well, I don't know if I had an increase or not. So you do nothing. So doing nothing, does that alleviate you from your responsibility to follow the commands of Jehovah? You're not alleviated from it. You're still responsible for it. And I don't know what he's going to hold us to when it comes to that, but I can tell you, I believe that the reason we have sick among us, the reason we have people that got to raise their hand every time you do something because they can't afford to go, is because of this. And we need to break that. That's a cycle that's been taught by the world. That's not Jehovah's plan. That's not his financial plan. The world teaches you that. Take no responsibility. It's always somebody else's fault. It's never your fault. We gotta step up and admit that we made bad decisions when it comes to finances, and we gotta get it fixed, and we gotta start now. Amen. So think about this. First year, you got the Smita cycle is over. Do you count the seventh year? Everybody go no. Why? Because the land rests. So we know you're gonna have a lot of increase if you compare everything to the seventh year. So you got the first year, year one. You keep a note whatever you made that year, whatever your total was. You got a total. You're gonna have a total what you made that year. The next year, if you make 10% more than you made that year, you gotta figure out what 10% is of what you made more and write that down because you owe a tithe on that. The increase. Not the whole amount, the increase. And this is not gonna be a big offering. It's gonna be smaller than the rest of them. But it's still something we need to have because there's a need for that tithe. There's a need for it. So then you got the second year, you have an increase. The third year, you have an increase. And then, when do you have to pay your first installment? The third and sixth year. You have to pay the installment. And that installment's held within your gates. So you got it within your gates, and now you have it. And what are you going to do with it? He's going to tell us. And the Levites, because he had no portion nor inheritance with you, and the sojourner and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates shall come and eat and be satisfied so that Jehovah your Elohim does bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. How many want his blessings on us? So that tithe, he just told you how you distribute that. The Levites, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, well, the Levites own land. So if you own no land, your income's going to pretty be, if you're in the farming business, your income's going to be real small because you have no land to plant. They had no portion. If you look at the charts of Israel, you'll see Ephraim's land, you'll see Judah's land, you'll see Manasseh's land, but you don't see nothing for Levite because they had no portion. Jehovah was their portion. That's why that first tithe belongs to Jehovah. Let me understand that. Now, they had to make enough because they had a responsibility to pay a tithe too. The Levites are not exempt from the tithe. They have a responsibility to pay the tithe too. So we have the fatherless, the widow within your gates shall come and eat and be satisfied so that Elohim does bless you in all your work of your hand which you do. I want that blessing released. But you see the sequence of how it happens and how he blesses because we have a responsibility. Now you realize I can't just go make money and do what I want with it. Well, it's my money. Well, you're right. It's your money. And listen, you'll never have me tell you have to pay your tithes. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm telling you what you're up against when you don't. And you decide whatever you want to do. But this release happens when you obey him. You pay on your increase, whatever that increase is. You pay on that increase. The Levites were paid by Jehovah for the work they did in the tabernacle and in the temple. Numbers 4 describes the work of the Levite and the priest. Numbers 18:21, and see, I have given the children of Levi all the tithe in Israel as an inheritance in return for the service which they are serving and service of the tent of appointments. How much tithe did he give them? Did that include second and third tithe? Remember the second tithe? Who you give a portion to the second tithe? And the third tithe, who you give a portion to? It doesn't mean at all. He said a portion. He's clear on what he says. So who has the responsibility to give that portion to the Levite? Is it Jehovah on second and third? Or you? You. Remember, you got to maintain it. You got to keep it aside. Listen, in Judaism, they don't even keep it in the same account. When it comes to the third, they keep that separate, completely separate. They don't mix Jehovah's tithe with the third tithe because they believe this is set apart. The other tithe, he don't call it set apart. It's our responsibility. He's trying to teach us how to live and be successful business people because we pay attention to the financial institution that Jehovah set up. You're not going to get better financial advice than you're getting here tonight. I'm telling you, this thing works, and it works beautiful when you listen to what Jehovah said. Works absolutely incredible. So we have the word inheritance. That's Strong's H5159. Nakala. Nakala is possession, property, inheritance, heritage, property, portion, share. Shared inheritance portion. It's from H5157, and in its usual sense, properly sometimes something inherited, i.e. abstractly occupancy, or concretely an heirloom, generally an estate, patrimony, or portion, heritage, or inherit, inheritance or possession. So this could be all sorts of things that happen. Because you can have increase, not just from your job. It's increase. And so, when you have that increase, you got to make sure you calculate that portion of it. So, there's a difference between increase and expense. And this is something that I was trying to explain this to Pastor Charlotte today. So you're going along and you're making money. You're fishing every day. You're making money. And now you want to buy a new boat. So you bought a new boat and you count the new boat as an expense. And then later on, you got tired of it and you sold a boat. Is it still an expense? What do you do with the money when you sell the boat? Maybe you didn't have a loan, you just paid cash. So then you have what? An increase. It's called increase. So at one time you called it an expense. And now it's an increase if you sell it. And so you have to keep that in mind that not everything we call expense is expense. Because now you own it, but it's exchanged for something. You exchanged your profit. For you exchange it, for now it's a boat, it's still an increase. Now you counted it as an expense to taxes, but you're not dealing with taxes, you're dealing with Jehovah. Just remember that. You deal with Jehovah, that's an increase to you. Because if you sold it, you're not going to throw the money away, you're going to put it in your pocket. Do you understand how that works? So keep that in mind. You, whatever you do, we're talking about Jehovah and taxes, they're not on the same level. And what did Yeshua say? Whatever give to Caesar was Caesar, but to God was God's. And you, God shouldn't have to be waiting on us. Well, I ain't sold it yet, so it's really not a profit. You possess it and you own it, it's yours, it's a profit. You understand that? It's an increase. So you got to keep that in mind, because you can juggle this stuff around, and before you know it, I got to explain, 50 different ways on what you're supposed to do, because your intention is not to pay it anyway. And I'm not going to do that. I'm explaining to you right now that what you call expense, Jehovah calls a profit. You call it an expense for your tax purposes, and you get a deduction for that. And they do it over 4 or 5 years. But you possess it. It's yours. You own it. That's an increase. You understand that? It's just not in cash. It's in a boat form. It's increase. And you got to understand that. And so you took money to buy it that you had, and you bought it, and now you have to understand that that is an increase. You possess it in money, in a boat form. So if you sell it, you can get some of it back. You might not get all of it back, but whatever you get back, you're not going to throw it away. You're going to put it in your pocket. So keep that in mind when you're doing your business. Just think about everything you do. Where does Jehovah fit in this? Because he's involved. You want him involved in everything, don't you? See, when we got problems, we want him there. When stuff is broke, we want him there. But when everything's going good and we share in profits, we don't want him there. But he knows everything before we write it down on a piece of paper. So I would encourage you to keep good records, because he knows your records. He knows them very well. Then we have the word service. Abudah is Strong's H5647. Work of any kind, act, bondage, bondservant, effect, labor, ministry, office, service, servitude, tillage, use, work, and wrath. Labor, service, labor, work, labor, of serving a slave, labor, service of captive or subject, service of God. And then we have serve. The primitive root, to work in any sense, by implication, to serve, till, causatively, enslave, etc. Be kept in bondage, be bondsman, bondservant, compel, do, dress, hear, execute, husbandman, keep, laboring, man, bring, to pass, cause to make, serving, self. Become servant, do, service, till, tiller, transgress. From the margin, set a work to be wrought, a worshiper. Serve, to work, serve, in the call form, to labor. Working, do work, to work for another, serve another by labor. To serve as subject, to serve God, to serve with the Levitical service. So these are words that were pointed out in that last verse. They have no inheritance, and they serve before Jehovah. And so he's showing that that service is involved. There's labor involved in there. That's why Jehovah made certain that all the tithe, whether it's a portion of the tithe or the tithe that's to Jehovah, are to be given to the Levitical priesthood. Now, is the first portion of the tithe, is that, do we have anything to mind on that? Is that any of our business? It's not. Because he said it's set apart to Jehovah. Now, how many of you know that Jehovah knows what he's doing? He knew people would have problems with this. And that's the problems you have a lot of times, is people have problems with it because they want to know this and they want to know that. But I hopefully you see that you got enough stuff to keep track of in the second and third tithe than to worry about what's Jehovah's. And if Adam and Eve would have kept track of what they was doing in the garden, with all the trees in the garden, except for the one that was Jehovah's, the one that they were trying to mind his business, and got themselves in a lot of trouble. And that's what happens when we try to mind Jehovah's business. We'll get ourselves in a world of trouble. And what happens? It affects the, if you don't do the first right, it affects the second and third. And then there you go. And then you got your hand up next time we have a thing, a function or something. I can't go. Why? I ain't got no money. I'm trying to show you that you'll never have that happen again. You always have money. Amen? That's where amen should have been, right there. Numbers 18:22, and let the children of Israel no more come near the tent of appointment, lest they bear the sin and die, because the Levites shall do the service of the tent of appointment, so they themselves bear their crookedness, a law forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they are to have no inheritance. So those are the words that I was giving you the definitions for, the word serve, service, and no inheritance. Verse 24 of Numbers 18. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they present as a contribution to Jehovah, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. That is why I have said to them among the children of Israel, they have no inheritance. Because he took their portion for them. That makes sense. So he don't want church folks getting bent out of shape because Jehovah decides to bless the Levite. And that's what folks do. They do that. They get bent out of shape. That's just the facts. That happens all the time. You know, folk going around saying, well, I'm not giving nothing because they're going to be driving brand new vehicles. I'm so glad that ain't my case today. Because I drive a vehicle that was not funded by nothing this church has ever gave me. You understand? Now, that shouldn't be the case. Shouldn't be the case at all. But it is. Now, my responsibility is to deliver you the message. But it is the case because there's not enough people who are faithful to doing what God said. Because you have to be faithful to it. Because you remember, these folks depended solely upon Jehovah. And Jehovah was dependent on the people to do the right thing. Now Jehovah, listen, if the people don't want to do it, then he'll raise up a different generation of people who will do it. That's what he does. But that's just the facts. But we get overly involved in what's Jehovah's. And we shouldn't do that. It's set apart to him, and he does what he pleases with it. The tithe of the children of Israel, which they presented as a contribution to Jehovah, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. That is why I have said to them, among the children of Israel, they have no inheritance. Verse 25, and Jehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the Levites and say to them, when you take from the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you, from them as your inheritance, then you shall present a contribution of it to Jehovah, a tenth of the tithe. Can you imagine that? Now, they have a responsibility. Do they get exempt from this responsibility? No, they don't get exempt. They have a responsibility. So whatever they take, they have the same responsibility the first tithe kicks in for them. This is set apart to Jehovah. They have to pay that tenth. Because he wants them to practice this wealth, liberating, financial information that Jehovah instituted. He instituted this. He wants the Levites to be blessed. So he's telling them, don't just take. You got to realize that what you got, I provided that for you. And then in turn, you're practicing, you're learning. I got to honor the one who provided to me. That's what you're doing. In essence, the tithing is an act of worship. You're worshiping what you're giving thanks to Jehovah because He provided your health. He provided your brain to function. Listen, you can go to bed one night, wake up, and you can't even find your way to the door. Then where are you going to be financially? But Jehovah's keeping you. He's watching over you. He's keeping you in the night. He's protecting you. He's giving you health to accomplish what you're doing, giving you length of years to do what you're doing. We owe it to Him to praise Him, and we praise Him with our gifts. Now, you notice I ain't talking about offering yet. Because this is not a short subject. And your contribution shall be reckoned as grain from the threshing floor and as filling from the winepress. Thus you also present a contribution to Jehovah from all your tithes which you receive from the children of Israel, and you shall give from it the contribution to Jehovah to Aaron the priest. From all your gifts you present every contribution due to Jehovah from all the best of them, the set apart part of them, and you shall say to them, when you have presented the best of it, then the rest shall be reckoned to the Levites as the yield of the threshing floor and as the yield of the winepress. You shall eat it in any place, you and your house, in your household, for it is your reward for your service to the tent of appointment, and bear no sin because of it when you have presented the best of it, and do not profane the set apart gifts of the children of Israel, lest you die. Now, this is critical. Why don't you have to worry about what the preacher's doing with the tithes? Because his contract is with Jehovah. And Jehovah says, if you misuse it, you'll die. That ought to be good enough for the saints that you're releasing with Jehovah's, and now they're in contract with Jehovah. If they do wrong with it, they're going to pay the consequence. Don't get so worked up that you get sideways with Jehovah because you won't do something because somehow you're now the protector of Jehovah's money. I'm protecting it. Remember, we need His protection. He don't need our protection. And at best, sometimes you get third and fourth hand information. Jehovah gets it straight. He sees everything that goes on. He knows exactly what's happening, and He don't miss anything. And at best, we assume stuff. Folk going assuming this and assuming that. You don't need to assume anything. When you give the tithe to Jehovah, your contract is not with Jehovah. It's not with the pastor. You have a responsibility to give it to Jehovah, and then that pastor is responsible to Jehovah. He's going to pay the consequence if he does anything wrong. It's all for you. You've done everything you were supposed to do. Everything you were supposed to do, you did. Whatever he does is on him, and he's going to pay the consequence. He just said that. That's why he clears this up, so we don't have to be that involved. Bear no sin because of it. When you have presented the best of it, and do not profane the set-apart gifts of the children of Israel, lest you die. So what is the pastor's responsibility? He has to present the best of it to Jehovah. He has to follow the same procedures you're following, and he has to make sure that the set-apart gifts, he don't profane it, lest he dies. What does it mean to profane it? It means to use it with being irresponsible. Spending it, being irresponsible. And he's going to stand before Jehovah for that. The seventh year, Shemitah year, tithe of flocks and herds, but no produce for the land is to rest. Now, I had the 10-minute card, and I can't finish this portion of it. It gets a little lengthy here. So I'm going to skip some of this, and I'll make it available, the whole slide presentation, everybody, so you have it. But the Shemitah cycle is so important, so valuable to understand. that the land has to rest for the seventh year. So let me get to this part right here since I'm running out of time. Robbing God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am Jehovah, I shall not change, and you, O son of Jacob, shall not come to an end. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my laws and did not guard them. Turn back to me, and I shall turn back to you, said Jehovah of hosts. But you said, in what shall we turn back? Would a man rob Elohim? Yet you have robbed me, but you said, in what have we robbed you? The answer, in tithes and offerings. So when I don't do what I'm supposed to do and everything I just covered, first, second, third tithe, what does God call that? Stealing. What's another word for rob? Steal. And what does he say? If him that stole, what does Yeshua say on that? To him that stole, steal no more. Now we all been robbers, every one of us in here. And I would dare to say you robbed after you got saved. So nobody's got it together. We need this teaching. Because we're trying to get it right. We want the blessings of Jehovah. We want His protection on our life. So you think about this. He said, You have cursed me with a curse, for you are robbing me, this nation, all of it. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, and let there be food in my house. And please prove me in this, says Jehovah of hosts, whether I do not open for you the windows of heaven and shall pour you out the boundless blessings, and I shall rebuke the devourer for you so that it does not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor does the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says Jehovah of hosts. Now everybody's familiar with this passage because this passage has been used by all of Christianity when it comes to funding the ministry. They don't mind going here because it says everything they want it to say. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a land of delight, says Jehovah of hosts. Your words have been strong against me, said Jehovah, but you have said, what have we spoken against you? You have said it is worthless to serve Elohim. And what did we gain when we guarded his charge and when we walked as mourners before Jehovah of hosts? And now we are calling the proud blessed. Not only are the doers of the wrongness built up, but they also try Elohim and escape. Think about that. So Elohim is trying to get them back to what? Right standings with Jehovah. He's telling them, you got to come back. And part of coming back is doing what? Part of doing things right is what? Making sure that you understand the payment plan that Jehovah set up, that we're responsible for. He gives our increase, we're responsible to do what he asks us of it. We have that responsibility. So you have to have discipline. Most people are broke because they have no discipline in their life. The moment their money hits the hand, it's got to go out. It's just something about it. They're allergic to it or something. It hits the hand, it's like it's on fire. And they go to Walmart and put it out. You know, they're putting the fire out at Walmart. I mean, it's just the way it is. I don't know if it's what it is, but the moment it hits them, it's got to go. They can't live with money. And one of the things you got to remember, in order to have money, you got to learn to live with it. Because if you don't live with money, you'll never have any money. Living with money means you had money for a while that you ain't touched. It's called savings. And you got to have that. And Jehovah teaches us that. So what does he do to the second tithe? He makes you hold the second tithe. What does he do to the third tithe? He makes you hold the third tithe. He's trying to teach us a principle here. We have responsibility. This is His money, and I have a responsibility, and there's a date that coming that I got to do something with this. And when that date comes, it's called the appointed time. You do something with it. And when the situation comes up that you're going to help the fatherless and the widow and the orphans, you're going to do something with it. If you know you want to help somebody that presents a need to you, then you should make a discussion. Say, Jehovah, what is this for? What do you want me to do? And can He not tell you? Can He not lead you? But you want to help somebody, but you have no money. You don't even have the money to do it. So you don't do anything. He said, I'm going to provide for you to do that. Now this is not licensing us to just hand out money. Remember, the gleaning is a very important principle that you got to understand. Some people need to do something. So if you got somebody that's just always in need, always, constantly, and you might be able to tell them, say, look, I know you can work. I know it might be tough times, but you can come over to my house. I got some stuff. You can help me around the house and all, and I'll give you a few dollars to help you. It'd be better to do it that way than just constantly handing out money. They don't learn anything. What Yeshua says about tithes. Who wants to learn that? Because after all, we're following Yeshua. We want to see what He says. Well, He don't say a whole lot. He don't say a whole lot, but He does say something. He don't, in the way He says it, sort of like I preach sometimes. I say it, but don't say it. Where did I learn that from? He's the best at it. Because He's always looking out for people. Listen, I'm not here to hurt your feelings. It's never my intention. But sometimes, after 30 years, 30 plus years, and you're still not getting it, I'm trying to tell you, come on now. 1 + 1 = 2. And we got to get it. We got to grab hold to the principle. What Yeshua says about tithes. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you tithe the mint and the anise and the cumin, but have neglected the weightier matters of the Torah, right rulings and compassion and belief. These need to have been done. What is these needs to have been done talking about? Tithing on the little things. Keeping good records, because they were good at it. The Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, they were good at it. They kept good record. These need to have been done without neglecting the other. What's the other that they were neglecting? The right rulings and the compassion. So when He says these needs, is He telling them, quit paying tithe, don't ever pay tithe, but I don't need that no more? Is that what He's saying here? Not only that, what He's saying it to me, He's telling them, what you was doing needs to be done, but you're forgetting the big picture here. You're keeping good notes about if it's one scoop or a quarter scoop of cumin that you got to pay tithes on, you're keeping good notes doing that, but you're missing the weightier matters, the right rulings and the compassion and the belief. You're missing that. So he was right within his rights to tell him this. He had to get on about this. But do you see him speaking against the tithes here? No, he's rallying for the tithes. Let's look at one more passage. Luke 8:11, verse 42. But woe to you, Pharisees, because you tithe the mint and the rue and every plant and pass by the right rulings and the love of Elohim. These you should have done. What's these you should have done he's talking about? You should have paid the tithes on the mint and the rue and every plant. You should have done that. But you're missing the point. You understand? And this is what you have people. There's some people believe in tithing, but don't believe in going to church. They would fit this category. Yeshua would get all over them. I've had guys say, man, I want to send my tithe to your church. And I'm like, man, what about coming to church? Wow, I got stuff going on right now. But they'll pay that tithe every time because they know that that principle works. And they want the hand of Jehovah in their life. But you and I, here we are. And so I'm going to stop right there. The only part I didn't cover is the Shemitah portion of it. You can go read it. There's some verses there. And there's so much more to talk about. But I hope I've answered some of your questions and cleared up some things for you. And I know you're still going to have about 20 different more questions about it. But, because you're going to say, well, what about this? What about that? And I'm going to answer you back, well, what about it? I'm not telling any of you to tithe. You're not going to get me to tell you you have to tithe. I told you what the Word of God says. You do whatever you want to do. I can tell you, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it because I know the Word tells me to do it. And when I do it, I'm going to expect His protection. I'm going to expect His protection. He's going to watch over me. And I believe I'm going to walk in the blessings of God that I never experienced yet. And that would suit me just fine. But I'm a prime example of what happens when you trust what Jehovah says. But I see people who year after year, they're in the same poverty they've been in the year before. You had a whole year, you did nothing different, you're not going to get a different result. That's insanity. To get different results, you got to put your faith in action. And it don't take faith to give Jehovah what's His. Let me just tell you that. So I need the faith to do it. I need the faith to pay my tithes. Jehovah's is His. It's set apart. You got to get that off. You got to take that 100 off that 1,000 and get that to Him. And it belongs to Him. Get it out your account. Don't redeem it. Because if you redeem it, then you're really in the contract now. You got to pay a fifth part. But folks say, well, can I redeem it? Well, yeah, you can. But you got to pay 20% back. You understand that? That don't make sense. Quit living above your means. That's what I would give you some financial advice. Don't take what Jehovah's and get sideways with Him. Then you got all sorts of problems. Just do what He asked you to do. Once you really, because there's nothing more liberating than giving Him what's His and you walk away from Him. You go, I'm free of that. Thank you, Lord. Now He's opening you up for the blessing. The blessing's coming, but you still have responsibility. What's your response? You have second tithe and third tithe. You got to keep good records. Most people financially are struggling because they don't keep no records. You ask them, what you made? I said, I don't know. They don't even know what they made because it's not in their hand long enough on the counter. I mean, it hits and boom, it's on fire. Boom. There's an old saying when we were kids. I mean, you know, we always wanted to go to Ben Franklin. I want to go to Ben Franklin. I want to go to Ben Franklin. I want to go to Ben Franklin. Why? I had $5 in my pocket. I wanted to pin that $5, burning my pocket up. When we going to Ben Franklin? We ain't going to Ben Franklin until tomorrow. I want to go to Ben Franklin now. That's always, I remember that. That $5 on fire. He couldn't wait to come out. And so what happens, that generational thinking goes to the next generation. Before you know it, you got a whole generation that's suffering. They're really not living up to what God, they're not really shining like God wants you to shine. But we all Christians. Our finances better catch up with what our statements are. We talk in Torah, we talk in Tzitzit, we talk in feast days and all this stuff, but our finances are struggling. They're struggling because we won't obey what He says in the financial program He laid out in the Bible. You obey that, then he's watching over you. You want Him protecting you. You want His protection. And so, there's a guy by the name of Arthur Bailey. If you listen to his CD, you need to listen to it 3 more times. His YouTube video, Arthur Bailey. If you listen to it already, if you haven't, you need to listen to it 4 times. If you listen to it, listen to it 3 more times, and you'll get something out of it. The guy is spot on. He don't do an exhaustive teaching, but he does a good job. And the guy just kind of lays it out real simple. And I use some of that material that he had to point it out to you. That's how good it is. Arthur Bailey. So Arthur Bailey was the guy I got accused of being. When I first started this journey, one of my pastor friends said, man, you're trying to be like Arthur Bailey. I said, I don't even know who that is. So I had to look him up because I didn't know who they were talking about. I didn't want to be a terrorist or something. So I looked the guy up. I listened to one of his videos, and I never listened to him again. When it comes to studying third tithe, I come across this stuff again. I said, I'm going to listen to what he's got to say about it. Because I was listening to different people, what they had to say. And there's more bad stuff out there than good stuff. That's sad. There's a lot of bad teaching when it comes to it. But listen, what you have in your hand, what you have in your Torah, is what I have in my Torah. And I just gave you what's in the Torah. This is what I gave you. And so you can go through it and define it however you want. What you're doing with the second tithe, when you to use the second tithe, how you to use the second tithe, you can define however you want. I told you what it says. That's what it says. And you're not to use it within your gates. You better find out what that means. So at your kitchen table, it shouldn't be eaten. But there's another table you can eat it at as much as you want without restraint. And that's at his table. And his table, by the way, we doing things is our feast days, appointed times. And so you to use it up and use it all. You have no restraint. You can use it up. But you got to remember, you're obligated for three times. So you got to be smart with it. Don't use it all for Passover. And you got none for Feast of Booths. Tabernacles, you have none. You got to be smart. Remember, he's teaching us. Notice what he's doing. He said, I'm going to get my people smart when it comes to money. That's why in the top 1% of the richest people in the world, they're all Jewish. They're all Jewish. Anybody want to be in the top 1% of the richest people in the world? They're all Jewish. Because there's a principle, they work that principle and it works. And so I'm trying to show you that God's financial planning works, and I want to work it. I want to work it with everything that's in me. Because I want God to show me out, and I want to be available for him to do that. But I want his protection. I mean, no, you don't make it without his protection. And the first thing you can get wrong is when you take God's money. Or you think it's somehow going to the preacher. And we sure don't want the preacher to have no money. And so you get sideways with God right off the bat. And then once you don't do the first tithe, second, third tithe out the window, that's a wash. And so here we go again. The tithing message you don't want to hear. But now it's done. Now you got it. And so we'll continue to do Wednesday night here, cover a couple more things that we have to cover. And then we'll let you know soon when we're going to do something different, okay? God bless you. Love everyone. Thank God for you. We'll see you next time.